Good afternoon, everyone. And I'm apologizing right now that I'm losing my voice, so I might go in and out, and hopefully I'll try and maintain it most of the session. My name is Adrienne Mundorf. I'm the Policy and Advocacy Manager at the Tulane Prevention Research Center in New Orleans. And I'd like to acknowledge another author that's in the audience. Naomi King Engler is our communications and training coordinator at the PRC, and she had a big hand in the project that I'm going to talk about. I have no relationships to disclose. So I'm going to be talking about a project that we did at the PRC called Improving Health in Louisiana Through Statewide Strategies. And this was a one-year project that was funded by United Healthcare. It started in the fall of 2013 and ended the following year. The main goal of this was to improve Louisiana's health, the residents of Louisiana's health, with the aims of identifying and prioritizing evidence-based initiatives and programs designed to improve health behaviors and outcomes at the state level. And then our secondary aim was to disseminate and educate on the research that we conducted and the analysis that we performed to key stakeholders across the state. So one of the tools that we used to identify how we're doing with our health in Louisiana was to use the America's Health Rankings. What that does is assess and rank state-level health determinants and outcomes each year. It's been doing it since the early 90s. And just to show you where Louisiana ranks compared to the other states, in 2013, the year we started the study, we were ranked in the bottom 10 for 17 of the 27 indicators. And since the early 90s, we've been consistently in the bottom 5 across all the states for overall health, and actually ranked 50th for overall health for 11 of the past 23 years. And this is a glimpse at some of the indicators. They didn't all fit on this slide, and it looks like actually my slides are cutting off a little bit. But I just wanted to give you an example of some of the indicators and where we rank with those indicators. Smoking, obesity, preventable hospitalizations, diabetes. We rank really low. Also cancer deaths, physical inactivity. We rank higher in health disparities, actually, and that's determined by educational attainment across race and ethnicity. So that means to say we do better in disparities as compared to other states. But this gave us an overall ranking in 2013 of 48. So taking all of those 27 indicators in mind and also looking at the relative weights of the different indicators, we determined that we wanted to identify the indicators that had the largest potential impact. So we looked at the obesity. We ended up looking at obesity and smoking, which ranked 50th across the nation and 46th in smoking. And some of the statistics that year showed that in Louisiana, a little over one-third of adults in Louisiana are obese, and that's compared to about 28% nationally. And with smoking, about a quarter of the residents of Louisiana smoke, and that's compared to about 20% nationally. In addition to looking at their relative rank, we looked at their weight. Each of the 27 indicators, these are the example of those, they were weighted, and smoking had the highest weight of all of the indicators in terms of how that might affect overall health. Obesity also had a high weight, and it also was related to a lot of these other health indicators, cardiovascular disease, cancer, physical inactivity, diabetes, etc. We also wanted to take a look at evidence and how that the evidence base of each of these different indicators compares to other types of indicators. We also found that smoking and obesity are very costly in Louisiana, and that $2.3 billion was spent on obesity-related medical costs that the previous year, and about $1.5 billion was spent on smoking-related medical costs. So we knew this was an important issue that would attract some attention. So we used a three-stage process, and I put these circles on the bottom because it really was an iterative process. The first stage, and I'll go into these in detail, was really doing an in-depth policy analysis to identify what strategies we might look at to address smoking and obesity in our state. We also identified through a situational analysis how they might relate to what was going on in our state, and turned the results of that research into research briefs and other communication tools. And then we used those communication tools during an education campaign with key stakeholders and policymakers across the state. So the first stage, the policy analysis, we started by looking at other states, particularly states that were higher ranked in the America's Health Rankings, particularly at southern states that were higher ranked, because we knew that they were a couple steps ahead of us at least, and that they might have similar political climates, similar health status in their states. And then we also looked across these states to see were there many states adopting different types of strategies. For example, 30 states had proposed or enacted a farm-to-school program that through legislation. In that process, we also looked at other organizations that consolidate recommendations, including the National Conference of State Legislators, Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, Change Lab Solutions, other public health policy organizations, and federal government sites, in order to see what the authoritative figures were recommending as community-level strategies. One of the big steps in this process was conducting interviews with key stakeholders in order to gauge importance within the state, and also to get a good sense of what's going on in each of these different areas. So we talked to 33 individuals with 19 different key stakeholder interviews, and that included advocates, government officials, practitioners across a few different sectors: early childhood, school, community, and healthcare sectors. So those individuals ranged from principals, community dietitians, directors of nonprofit farmers markets, director of water company, several active transportation managers, and pediatric advocacy groups. At this stage, we also did a lot of literature searches and reviews in order to get a sense of what evidence of impact might be for various strategies, and also to get a sense of what process papers were out there. How did other states look at these strategies? So we used peer-reviewed journal articles and also reviewed state government and public health organizations' reports that might have talked about those processes. The next stage was the identification of strategies. So here we used a situational analysis really to get a sense of how would these, so we took all of this research. At this point we had 28 strategies that we had looked across other states. We had conducted literature reviews and talked to key stakeholders. We wanted to get a sense of how these strategies might fit within the Louisiana context. So we had started with the America's Health Rankings, and so one of the first steps in this stage was to look at the potential impact of ranking. So if we were to improve, let's say, obesity, how would that improve our overall ranking based on the weight, based on our current status, and also based on those other indicators that might be related? And so if particularly strategies that targeted more than one indicator, those would likely have a greater impact on overall health rankings. We also looked at the evidence of impact here. So again, looking at what the peer review journal articles found that would really impact change. And we looked at the amount and strength of impact and prioritized strategies that had higher amounts and higher strength of evidence. We also looked at the political climate. We live in Louisiana, and politics can get a little fun down there. And we wanted to get a good sense of, are these feasible? We talked to the key stakeholders here and asked them if they thought, you know, if this has been something that's been looked at in the past in Louisiana, or whether or not this might be tractionable. We also looked at other states to see how similar strategies were accepted, or what feedback they received in those states. The last step of the situational analysis was looking at the required financial support. We've had a budget, I think, every year. For the past several years, the Louisiana legislature have said, this year we really have to make budget cuts, this year we really have to cut back. So we knew that the strategies couldn't have a high cost, or they needed to be a no-cost solution. So that really limited the types of strategies that we might look into. So through that process, we limited the list of 28 strategies down to 9 final strategies. And from there, we developed policy briefs on these 9 strategies. And this is an example of one of the policy briefs. They all have similar formats, where we identified the background in Louisiana, what's going on, what are the current policies, what's the health situation, what are our rankings compared to other states, what can be done to improve the situation, and what's the potential impact, what are the strengths and barriers to changing the health environment here. If you're interested in looking at all of these research briefs, they're available at the link in the corner. So after we developed these communication pieces, and again, it was an iterative process, so sometimes this happened before we were done with all of the policy briefs, we started going out into the community and sharing this information. So one of the main ways that we shared information was through local community organizations, through their meetings, disseminating the research briefs, and also sharing with them the information that we had found through social media activities. We had a large Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter presence through our existing channels, and we were able to reach over 500 viewers through Facebook, and almost 1,000 followers saw our tweets. Additionally, we received some earned media credit through different newspaper articles and newscasts, and there were also articles written in community-based newsletters that picked up these stories. We were invited several times to testify at the House, at the Senate Health and Welfare Committee, as well as different committees across the House and the Senate. And we were also, during the project and after the project, have presented about this and have published several articles about the project. At the end of the legislative session in 2014, 9 pieces of public health legislation were passed related to this research that we conducted. And I'll briefly go over, I think I've got the yellow card, I'll briefly go over the policies that were passed. There was a complete streets policy that requires the Department of Transportation to maintain a complete streets policy and also issue an annual progress report of where they're at. The one policy that we had educated on that did not pass was menu labeling, and this was a policy that provides menu labeling requirements in chain restaurants with 15 or more locations, and that's a little bit more strict than the federal policy of 20 or more locations. There were 2 strategies around state obesity coordination. One included creating the obesity commission that brings together community and government organizations to coordinate obesity efforts at the state level and take a look at recommendations for going forward. And it also created a joint legislative committee on obesity that brought together the House and Senate, several, the Department of Education, the Department of Transportation, and the Department, the House and Senate Transportation Committee, Education Committee, and Health and Welfare Committees. When we looked at the areas around early childhood, two strategies were successful in the legislation. One was to increase the number of lactation rooms in state-owned facilities from 10 to 20 rooms within 2 years. And another was to direct the Department of Health and Hospitals to submit a state plan amendment that will allow women, infant, and children cash value vouchers program to be used at farmers markets. So that's expanding the use of WIC to be able to buy fresh fruits and vegetables at farmers markets in addition to grocery stores. And finally, in the education and secondary school arena, there was a farm-to-school strategy that encourages the several departments to establish a statewide farm-to-school program and also form a study group to identify barriers, potential barriers. There was a joint use agreement strategy that studies the barriers that prevent schools and governing agencies from using joint use agreements. Why are there so few joint use agreements in place across the state? And there was also a smoke-free school zones policy that prohibits smoking within two. So it extended the smoke-free school zone from the school property to an extra 200 feet perimeter around the school property. And finally, drinking water in schools. We needed, in order to start looking at drinking water access, we first need to know what the current situation is, so assessing the water availability in elementary and secondary schools. So at the end of this project, some of the main challenges that we identified were that there was really limited interaction with the policymakers, and part of that is due to busy schedules. Our legislative session only runs from March to June. It's only 3 months, at least in the even numbered years. And so that led to really busy schedules. They usually maintain other jobs throughout the remaining session of the year. And then I think another important challenge with limited interaction is also the constraints around interaction with policymakers based on our funding. Our campaign was really to educate and inform policymakers, not to lobby. We did not receive funding in order to lobby. So that certainly forms a different relationship and doesn't always buy the face time that allow for the face time that might really allow more meetings. We also started the project in November, and our session started in March. So we had a really short time crunch to educate and promote this type of information across the state. The political climate among state legislators, again, funding is really an issue, and with the budget cuts in the state, it's difficult to advocate for or talk about strategies that might have a fiscal note attached to them. However, we saw a lot of successes. The legislators wrote 9 successful public health policies, and this is many more than we usually see in the legislative sessions. We established a reputation as a resource for health information across the state, in part by the community meetings and the dissemination of information. And we raised awareness of public health issues. Even if strategies weren't passed, they were still talked about in the media. And we disseminated strategies for success to other public health practitioners and advocates. And just to close, I think one of the important lessons that we learned was that educating the public and legislators on public health information can lead to policy change. We use simple yet widespread communication in order to get the message across, and that's usually the most easily received. The information was really locally relevant, and also we included economic analysis to let policymakers and stakeholders know what the potential costs or the potential revenue might be. There were certainly the more controversial policies, such as the menu labeling policy, draws in more media coverage, but it might not be successful in the end. So we really found that incremental policy changes might have the potential for long-term positive impact. Thank you.